God wants to bless you. I know Cheryl last week talked about our neighbor, and our neighbor has an amazing lawn. It's unbelievable. It's the most beautiful lawn. And every time we go by, we look at it, what an amazing lawn. And Cheryl asked him, how do you do that? And he talked about how he cares for his lawn. But we have everybody in our cul-de-sac there, in all of it, everybody's got at least two dogs. It's ridiculous. Some more. But, well, you know, I'm good with just one. But I tell you, when we walk by his house, and if Coco kind of gets up on the grass and looks like she might do some business, I pull her and say, no. No peeing on his grass, because Coco, one pee can make a brown spot. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't want to be responsible for touching this, because this is amazing. I honor this guy because I see the blessing on his lawn. When people see the blessing of God in your life, they're not going to pee on your life. They're going to honor you. They're going to bless you. They're going to see some good stuff. They're going to pay attention. They're going to seek after the wisdom that's moving in your life. And we really should be shining beacons of hope and goodness and glory. And it's good. Thank you, Pastor Cheryl. Thank you, Pastor Cheryl. You're a good pastor, Pastor Cheryl. All right, I'm going to fly through this. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. But I do want you to see Roar. We do have a conference that is coming up. And I think it's in my slides there, Roar. And we got Sammy Robinson coming from Edmonton and Sean Gaby is coming from Ottawa. And these are two really great guys, good friends of ours. And they're going to bless us. We're going to have fun. We're going to have a big celebration on the Sunday. We got several of our pastors from our fellowship across Canada coming in and going to be here with us. And we're going to have a really great day of celebration. I want you to set apart this time. I've never done a whole weekend of church. I mean, my goodness, like planning to be in church Friday, all day Saturday, and then Sunday. Yes, I want you to plan that. I want you to get your head around that right now. On the Saturday at noon, we're going to have trucks are going to come, food trucks. We're going to have a bunch of food trucks so we can feast and have fun and eat together. We're going to spend the day together. We're going to have kids programs and things going on all the time as well. And we want to show off to this community what a heavenly community looks like. And we want people to wander in and go, wow, that was good. That was good for me. That was very good for me. It's a good thing to be found in the presence of the Lord. And we want people not to encounter a religious institution or a Bible study or an old message in history about what Jesus did. But we want them to freshly right now encounter Jesus today. We want lives to be touched and healed and restored. So let's do that celebration together. Let's have fun. So you plan to be there with us, and we're going to have a good time. Amen. Pastor Cheryl had a birthday this week. She turned 63. I'm allowed to say that. She left the room. Amen. God bless her. I am a blessed man. You have no idea. I honestly often reflect on how little I bring to this relationship. And I just all the time, I'm like, it's shocking how wonderful and the abundant grace that's in my wife's life to put up with me. And amen. So there's got to be something in it for her. I'm not sure what, but I am very blessed and happy birthday to my dear wife, and I'm very, very grateful for her. And I really did. We did a bunch of renovations. We had to borrow tools from people and things. And Bob Tunders had a nail gun that was, it was a Milwaukee nail gun, battery operated. And you didn't have to have the compressor and the hose. You could just go shoot these nails. Cheryl loved that nail gun. So you know what I got her for her birthday? I got her a nail gun. You know what? And I'd like to tell you, I nailed it. I nailed that gift. That's so good. But you would be, some people might think, who gets their wife a nail gun? She was so happy. I mean, she's an interesting wife. But I feel like she's a Psalm 31 wife for me, because I basically sit at the gate and I just watch her go. And I am like, thank you, Jesus, for being so kind to me. Don't tell her I said these good things about her, all right? All right. You know, you got to go to the doctor and get your regular checkups. I kind of miss them sometimes. My doctor says, you're getting a bit older, you should come a little more often. I'm like, you know, but I went and the nurse came in and said, we got to take some vitals, some different things. So she said, how tall are you? I said, I'm 5'11". And I stood on the little scale there and she measured. She said, she wrote down 5'6". I went, she said, what's your weight these days? I went, about 165 or so. She went, you're over 215. I went, wow. Then she checked my blood pressure and she went, looked at me and goes, that's very high. I said, no kidding. Said I came in here and I was tall and skinny, and now, you know, I'm short and fat. So, and of course, that's going to affect the blood pressure just a little bit, right? Huh? So, anyways, all right, Chantel, I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly ahead. I'm going to go all the way to. Let's go all the way to. Let's go past that. Hey, where are you now? Are you with me? Go to the Corrie Ten Boom. There's no panic in heaven. Let's just pick up there. That should work for me. All right. If you can find that for me, you got to pop down a little bit. Just say, thank you, Pastor. You have no idea how many slides I skipped over. So no panic in heaven. I think you got to go back a little bit. Back one. Go, oh. Just back one slide for me, if you can. Nope, that's Corrie Ten Boom. There's no panic in heaven. So it's, how are you? A.W., that's a good quote too. I love A.W. Tozer. Chantel, would you like me to start there? Okay, let's start there. We'll find a spot. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the rich anointing in the room. Thank you for the Holy Spirit on this time of sharing together. Open our hearts to your word. Bless it in every way. In Jesus' name. Just open your heart to the Holy Spirit. There's really a rich presence of Jesus right here. And I tell you, he's working on your heart and life. Let me babble in the background, but you just really let him touch you. He's moving in the room right now. Jesus is walking around. Just reach out because he's right there. A.W. Tozer, wonderful writer. Great Christian thinker, but he said, the Christian is a holy rebel loose in the world with access to the throne of God. A holy rebel loose in the world with access to the throne of God. And Satan never knows from which direction he will come. That's who you are. I mean, we are here kicking in the gates of hell, loosing the wonderful good things of heaven every single place we go. Bill Johnson said, I'm not impressed with anyone's life unless they have integrity. Integrity, say integrity. Integrity means that what's inside is out, the same thing that's outside. It's consistent through and through. No phoniness. It's real. It's genuine. There's integrity. But I'm not happy with their life unless they're dangerous. Say dangerous. I like that. Are you dangerous? You need to be dangerous. You need to be dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. You remember when Paul went and he was casting out demons within the name of Jesus, pop, in the name of Jesus, pop, in the name of Jesus, pop. And these guys are watching going, wow, these Jewish exorcists, they're like, look how easy that is. That's amazing. We work hard trying to get people straightened out. And just with the name of Jesus, authority delivers and sets people free. And they went, we want to do that. So they found a demon-possessed guy and put him in a room and said, in the name of Jesus. And the guy rose up, beat them up, tore their clothes off, and they ran away naked. It's a true story. It's in the book of Acts. And basically the devil said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who in hell are you? He said, we don't know you. You don't register at all. You're not dangerous. But you're dangerous. You're a child of God. The full measure of the Godhead, everything, Christ in you, the hope of glory, it's in there. You are walking, you are packing, you possess the same power that created the world. The name of Jesus that has been given to you, at that name, everything, every title, everything that has a name has to bow to the name of Jesus. And you have authority in that name. You are dangerous. You are dangerous. As much as I have the ability to do so, I will not let those around me just get away with being nice people. You don't come to church to learn how to be nice people. nice people is a byproduct of just walking in the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit's going to manifest in your life. It's a byproduct. Kindness and gentleness and patience and all those things is a byproduct. But you've got to be dangerous. We're not here to coexist with the kingdom of darkness. We are not here until Jesus gets us out of this mess. We are here to bring transformation to the world. It's right on the sign out front. It says Impact Church, transforming lives to impact their world. And that's what it's about. How many have had a bit of a change of life since you started coming to Impact Church? Something happened in your life. You've been just geared up, jacked up. Something shifted in your world, and you're ready just to just go and attack things with a fresh fervor. Well, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Well, the political climate in that day, we're in the book of Acts, the political climate of that day, there was the Sanhedrin. That was the ruling party of the Jews. They were subject to the Roman culture, but Rome, you guys can run your area as long as you behave yourselves. So you can keep your own government, your own laws, your own religion, your own whatever. Just behave yourself and we'll keep a little bit of an army there. And if you get out of line, we'll whack you back in the line. But they got to run things. And this was the group, this Sanhedrin, this was the group that arrested Jesus and put him under trial and told the Roman leaders in their area, Pilate and those guys, said, this guy is a danger to what we're doing. He's going to stir things up. He's awful. And what's he do? Well, he calls himself God. He's messed things up. He's really done some terrible stuff, causing a lot of trouble. So, I mean, Rome didn't want to take the guy out, but they said, oh, well, if you say so. But this is the same group of people just a few weeks later, say weeks, not months or years or generations. This is a few weeks later. Peter and John on the way to the time of prayer, the day of prayer, going into the temple to pray. They go walking in and there's a guy, 40 years, he's lame. And they said, you know what? Jesus said we can use the name and we can change things that are wrong. That guy and what's going on in his body is wrong. And we have the authority. We are dangerous to sickness. We are dangerous to anything that the enemy has done. We are dangerous to any way the enemy's encroached on anyone's life. We are dangerous and we have authority and we have power to command that to change. So he said, look at us. And they looked and he looked and expecting. And they said, this isn't a silver and gold exchange. Problem with the church is a lot of church has silver and gold. That's unfortunate these days. And we want to have silver and gold. But where's the power? In the name of Jesus. They used the name of Jesus and boom, the guy was quickened. Can you imagine the atrophy of never walking 40 years? Can you imagine no muscles, no tissue, no, all of a sudden, boom, the guy was turned into Superman, leaping and jumping and praising God. And everybody was freaked out. But all they did was use the name of Jesus. And then they got arrested and put away. And they're going, we got to figure it out. What did these guys do? They used the name of Jesus. They said, Jesus is alive. We got to shut these people down. So they brought them in, but they couldn't do anything because when they come walking in, where's the evidence? They got the lame guy right beside them. And they're looking, going, how are we going to rebuke these guys for healing the lame dude? We all know the lame dude. We see him every time we come to church. It's like the guy sitting at the door every time you come to church. And then all of a sudden that guy, we want to tell these people to stop doing it. But what they did was wonderful. I mean, and so they're trying to tell him, stop doing that. Don't use the name of Jesus anymore. And they said, well, you know, should we not do what God wants to do? Should we listen to you instead of listening to God? And they said, we've got to do. Acts 4, 19 to 20. Peter and John answered, said, then whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. Is it? I mean, you judge. Should we listen to you more than God? It's not that we won't listen to you. I mean, we respect your authority, but when God steps on the scene and he wants us to eliminate pain and suffering and bring his kingdom everywhere we go, I'm sorry, but we have to. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen? We cannot but speak and declare the things we have seen and heard. Too often in church, we're only hearing stuff. Too often in church, we're hearing nice lessons, hearing good stuff, you know, and soon Jesus is going to come and get us out of this mess. It won't be wonderful then. It's supposed to be wonderful now. Jesus taught us to pray, said, on earth as it is in heaven. And that's not in the sweet by and by. That's right now. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the standard of living that you are called to is as it is in heaven? If you put everything in your life through the filter of as it is in heaven, how are you doing? And you know, that's not your responsibility to make that happen. That is God's promise to you. That is not a prescription that you need to attain to. That is the description of what is yours because of the grace of God. That was good right there. It was a good place to say amen. It was a good place to say thank you, Jesus. Amen. We got to do it. We got to do it. Acts 4:24. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with each other and they began to pray. And put up Corrie Ten Boom. Her Corrie Ten Boom was a family, a Christian family that hit a bunch of Jewish people and tried to get them away from the Nazis. And they got found out they were doing it, so they got shoved in the concentration camps as well. But you know, she went through those concentration camps and she existed through it, lost all of her family. But talking to her later on, they were talking about, how did you deal with all those things? She said, you know, there's no panic in heaven, only plans. There's no panic in heaven, only plans. And that's what Cheryl was talking about. When you get the big last bill, and we were hoping it was going to be a smaller bill, but it was a big one. We went, oh, my, that's a big one. And then you got to go, oh, my God. And, you know, but right then, you know, there's no panic in heaven. You don't have to panic. I mean, you get a big bill, you get something happens, something, a word, you get a stormy word spoken over your life about your health or about your finances or all those other things. There's no panic in heaven. And the standard of your life is as it is in heaven. And there's no panic in heaven, but you can stop right there. And I know the plans he has for me, says the Lord. So no matter what seems to be manifesting in your life, you got to stand firm on the word of God. You got to stand, you know, you can stand with nothing under your feet but the word of God, and you're in a secure place. Because God's word is powerful. God's word is mighty. Amen. No panic. There's no panic in heaven. So they started praying. First thing you do, we talked about their prayer, looked at it. We're going to look at more next week. But the first thing they did when they prayed was they magnified God. And that's the first thing you need to do. When you're coming to God and approaching God and you're going through a difficult time, number one, magnify God. And that's what Cheryl and I did. We got in the car and I was like, Cheryl, you know, we're not doing this because we want to do this. We're doing this because God told us to do this. So we are in a place of faith and we're stepping out. But you know what? The one who's asking us to do this is a great God. He's a good God. He's a mighty God. He doesn't lie. He doesn't say things to us just to test us. He said, I'm not going to bring you this far and then abandon you. And so we trust him. And he's a good God. And he's a mighty God. And you know what? Has he taken care of us before? Yes. We've made crazier leaps of faith than this. And was he faithful? Yes. So, you know, we got the word of God and we got the stories of God. So you got to reframe the threats after that. You got to say, what does God's word say? And you got to look back at your testimony and the testimonies of others. You got to believe, you know what? There's one beautiful thing about God. He is faithful. God is faithful. He's faithful and he's faithful to you. So reframe the threats. Take a look at it. Reframe it. Subject it to the word of God and subject it to your testimony. And the third thing was put a demand on boldness. They said, now, Lord, give us not just boldness, but all boldness. Can you say all? Somebody say all. All boldness. All boldness. I mean, never be lacking in zeal in your service to the Lord. That means never. There should never be a time. Didn't you love when Pastor Cheryl grabbed one of those cloths, just started to swing it? Didn't you feel like, oh, that was good. Oh, something's lifting. Oh, something. What were we doing? I mean, what, the first four Sundays? I mean, I get sometimes my African brothers and sisters are telling me, we should have a bit more running around, waving. And I've been in Africa, and I love preaching in Africa. And it's beautiful when you're singing and worshiping God. People are running around and waving the banners and just running. And I'm there. I'm getting carried away. I just love it. I get them all stirred up, have a panic, I tell you. But I mean, you can do that here. I love the show. I said, you got permission. Run around, jump around, do whatever you got to do. Come on. I mean, let everything that has breath. Anybody still breathing in here? Check the pulse of your neighbor. Hallelujah. All right. So you got to be bold. You got to be bold. Okay, I'm going to interject something right here just because of the Sunday that we're on, and it's a taste of impact. And I'll tell you something I love, and I've always grown up in churches. The church I grew up in Montreal, we were a very, very multicultural church. So I always grew up in a church that was multi-generational. And so I've always thought it would be odd to be in a church where every age group and every background and every ethnicity possible isn't manifest. And that would be awkward for me. But I love that we are represented with so many different nations. It's a beautiful thing. So, hey, I've got somebody here today. Where's Pastor Sean? Pastor Sean, are you still here? Where's Pastor Sean? Come on up here, Pastor Sean. Give it up for Pastor Sean. Come on. As you guys know Pastor Sean? We got one yes. Now, Pastor Sean is the pastor of our church in Barbados. And I believe I'm still the president of the church in Barbados. Is that true? Yeah. So legally, I could retire and pastor that church with Sean, which I was hoping to do, but not anymore. So, but maybe someday. Why don't you greet these people? Say hello.
I have a word for you. Permission? You know, when I came in, I saw the building, and it's an extremely beautiful building. Give yourself a round of applause. But I also saw purpose. Back home, I work for the government. I do project management, and we build buildings. We build a lot of stuff, millions of dollars we spend. And I have to follow the instruction of the architect. The architect is God. Here, you have to follow the instruction of the project manager. And I do project management, and I have to get on my team members who are capable of working. I choose only the best. I choose only those who can carry out the mandate. And God is saying, I have given you a congregation. There are many members, many bodies. My body have hands, feet. It has all sorts of stuff going on over there. Many times they don't work in coordination, but it works. All things work together for good for them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. And God is saying, work with the pastor. He is the project manager. God is the architect. He's saying, you might not understand. Many times they come to me and say, I don't understand what's going on here. I say, well, let me just help you a bit. And when he understands, he says, yes, I get it. You're not going to understand. Go to the pastor. He's going to go to God. God's going to reveal to him. And he comes back and say, yeah, let's go this way. Let's go that way. Many hands make work light. That's the saying we have. We all have to come together to make this happen. You are not finished. You are closer to the end than you recognize it. Work with the pastor. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. And let me just give you a short form of what he said. Wednesday night, come to the leadership meeting. That's what that means. Yeah. And you know, I'm fulfilling a role and a function and a leadership role, but God speaks to every single one of us. And you're going to hear there's a consistency of his voice in our hearts, and you're going to feel an amen in your spirit because you know that's how God's speaking to you as well. So praise the Lord. So we do welcome Sean and Stephanie. Stephanie has the same birthday as my wife, and they have the same wedding anniversary as us. Isn't that bizarre? It's like we're strange cousins. Stephanie, bless you. Good to see you. Acts chapter 4:23, and being let go, they went to their own companions. Say companions. When they were released, Peter and John went back to their own people. Just different translations. As soon as Peter and John were let go, they went to their friends. I was in Cuba once, and I had a guy that, you know, we spent a lot of time with, one of the fellows who was working there. And when he was on his day off, I would take him with me, and we'd go travel places. I would always try to find somebody I could befriend and just take them as a tour guide every time I left the property and did stuff. And so we had fun. We were enjoying things. And I was saying to him, I said, man, you're my amigo, eh? My amigo. He said, no, we're not amigos. You're my compañeros. And I went, really? What's that? He says, it's way more than amigo. It's somebody that ties your heart together with somebody, and you're going to go to war with them, and he's on purpose. So he says, but you're my compañeros. I went, really? Here that's used, it says company. They went to their own company. When they were released, they went to their own company. And it's really, really important to know where you belong. It's really important to know and be a part of a place where this is my company. They didn't just leave and go anywhere. They went immediately to, and they tied themselves to their company. They went to their own company. Dr. Dean Ornish, this is going to be quick. Can you say quick? Okay. Dr. Dean Ornish, Lifestyle Medicine, he said, love and intimacy and our ability to connect with others and ourselves is the root of what makes us sick and what makes us well. People who feel lonely and isolated have a 300 to 500% greater risk of premature death due to physical illness. So connection, being knowing your company, knowing and being engaged, finding a place that this is home, where I belong, it's very, very important in your life. Elizabeth Dixon in Psychology Today, she said, our relationship more than anything else set the stage for our health, happiness, and well-being. Research indicates that the quality of our social relationships affect our range of health outcomes, such as our mental health, our physical health, and mortality risk. So relationships are way more important. She went to say that indicators in even in your 50s and 40s and things, indicators like high blood pressure, cholesterol, all those things, they studied people later on in their 80s, and they said there were lots of people with high blood pressure, cholesterol issues, and all those things who were very, very healthy and had substantial happiness and quality of life, even though there were indicators that were to a deficit in their lives. But they did well, and the thing that they studied and found out was that their relationships were great, and they loved life, and they shared life with people. And because they were in community, even though there were some health factors that should have been adversely affecting them, they didn't, because more important than a health factor in your body is the relationships you have to bringing a healthy existence. Now, that's not just my opinion, and I'm not saying don't take care of the other issues in your life, but I tell you, they have found that health and happiness and all these other things and are more to do with, you know, what you have as relationally than really those other dynamics in your life. Harvard study, the biggest study, the most current study, the longest study, a study of adult development, 1938 to the present, they're still studying it, said we gathered together everything we knew about them at the age 50, and then it wasn't their middle-aged cholesterol levels that predicted how they were going to grow old. It was how satisfied they were in their relationships. So this is the biggest study by Harvard, the biggest study, relational study, tracking with people. And they said people that have sound relationships do so much better. It's Dr. Robert Waldinger is the overseer of the program. And he said, the clearest message that we get from this 75-year study is this: good relationships keep us happier and healthier. Good relationships keep us happier and healthier. Good relationships keep us happier and healthier. Good relationships keep us happier and healthier, period. Period. Not going to add a single thing to that. Let me just say it. Good relationships keep us happier and healthier, period. It's not wealth, not status, not professional success. Relationships are the key factor. They went through a very difficult situation. They went through a trial. They were challenged by the powers of the day. The same powers that crucified Jesus were coming after them, and they had boldness, and they had joy, and they were full of life, and they went back to their own company, and they lifted up their voices in prayer. And you got to be able to find people when you're going through a hard time. You go to your own company. You find your peeps. You find the people that you're connected to and covenanted with, and you find those people, and you begin to pray, and you're going to see those circumstances completely transformed. You're gonna live in a realm of health, of life, of happiness and blessing, and community is going to be a large factor of that. You know, I saw a bunch of studies when I was looking at this, and they did a bunch of studies on young adults, and they've seen in young adults that the depression is starting to go into a horrible, horrible curve. Such depression and mental health issues and all these things. And the interesting thing is it is almost in a direct correlation to how young adults have fallen out of church. And you take the same scale where the kids have fallen out of church, it adversely, they almost mirror each other to how many people, young adults, are becoming depressed and having mental health issues because they're so disconnected, isolated, and alone. Hello. Relationships are everything. Being a part of a healthy, strong community. I mean, there's over 100 times the whole basic one another phrase, Greek phrase, is used. 59 times in English is said one another. One another is a big deal. And how you engage with one another is a big deal. And how we involve ourselves, community. Jesus said they're going to know your believers by how you love one another. So the one another factor is a big, big deal. So heaven on earth is most clearly manifest in community. Heaven on earth is most clearly manifest in community. That's the reason he's using a community, because we are that beautiful expression. And God says, look at how awesome I am. Well, how awesome are you? What should I look at to determine? Like my neighbor, he's got awesome grass, right? But you see, God says, if you want to see how awesome I am, look at my church. Look at my people. Look at the way they interact with each other and care for each other. Look at that. That is a sign of who I am. And that's not something we have to prescribe to. That's something we just got to lean into the Spirit, because that's a description of us hanging out together. Amen. Ephesians 4:3, be eager to strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and the oneness that is produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. So we are not called to create unity. Look, you guys need to get along more. You guys need to love each other better. You need to, I'm not going to point my finger at you. What we need to do is we need to lean into what the Spirit has already accomplished. We need to lean into what the Spirit has already done. I don't want some phony, you know, pretentious, I love you, brother. Hallelujah. Can't stand that guy. I don't want some pretentious, you know, performance where, God bless you, brother. You good, I'm good. We're all good. Hallelujah. You're looking fine today. I want real, genuine, authentic, Holy Ghost love. Something that comes out of my belly. Something flows out of heaven. Something that flows out of me because I know how loved I am by God himself. And that overflows the banks of my life. And I just naturally, authentically am pouring out love for one another. We don't have to create that. We can step into it because there is a place called in the Spirit. And if you stay there with me, we will enjoy unfettered, beautiful, loving fellowship. Stop right there and say, amen. All right. Eugene Peterson, he wrote the Message paraphrase. He said, there can be no maturity in the spiritual life, no obedience even in following Jesus, no wholeness in the Christian life apart from an immersion in and an embrace of community. I am not myself by myself. And you got to be intentional about community. You got to be intentional about what God says about you. You got to know that church is a high, high value in the kingdom, and it should be a high, high value for you. This community is should be something very, very important. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he said, the person who loves their dream of community will destroy community. The person who loves their dream of community will destroy community. Pastor, I'd like to be in a church where it's like this. You know, Pastor, I'd like to think the church should be this and church should look like this and blah, blah, blah. Well, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, your dream of community will destroy community. I don't need you to conjure up or dream up what you think it is. You know what? Sometimes community is ugly, but it's still community. You know, the beautiful thing about community isn't that we never have problems. The beautiful thing about community is we never give up on each other. Love never fails. I mean, the beautiful thing about community is when I come together, things happen that bother me and I get offended. But, you know, instead of that being something that divides, it's something that does something in me and causes me to reach deep into the Spirit of God and bring that love of God out of my heart where no situation or circumstance can conquer my unfailing love for you. And you know, that's the most beautiful sign of Christianity, isn't that we're, you know, all painted faces and phonies. It's where, you know, we're really doing life together. And sometimes life is hard, but I'm doing it together with people that will be there for me. They'll never fail me. They'll tell me the truth when I need to hear it, but they'll never quit on me. And I love them. The front two rows are doing really well today. Thank you, Bob. Bob's catching up. Look at that. Look what he says. He says, but the person who loves those around them will create community. Don't think about what community should be. Just love the person in front of you. Quit thinking about, you know, if this church did this, I would stay. Well, please leave. I get people to come to church. I left my other church because they were so mean to me. I said, well, hang out with us. I can be mean to you in all new ways. Because, gosh, you already set me up with expectations. I got to perform. I'm not going to perform for anybody, but I will love you. I will love you. I hope you're hearing me. Thank you. Throw me a bone. Throw me some love. It's my love language is words of affirmation. Thank you. We're almost done. John 15:12, this is my commandment. See, there's a new covenant has new commandments. The old covenant had commandments. The new covenant has new commandments. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love others as I have loved you. Believe and love. And not just love, not love with your kind of love, but love with the God kind of love that's been shed abroad in your heart. So we're to love others as he's loved us. Does anybody know how much he loves you? You cannot love others until you got a full grasp of how much he loves you. And it's that love that you're supposed to express to others. Not a man-made love, but a selfless, sacrificial, unconditional, transformative love. Ephesians 4, 30 and 32, the Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until the experience of your full salvation. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in your life. Don't ever grieve or resist his wonderful, beautiful influence in your life. The rest of the verse, lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults, but instead be kind and affectionate toward one another. He, God, has graciously forgiven you, then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Do you know you're forgiven? Do you know you're free? Never hold a grudge. Never do that. It's not worth it. I mean, you've been forgiven so much. Your default should just be, I forgive you from your heart, deeply, with deep affection from your heart. The love that God has poured in my heart, it's a love that never fails. Luke 23:34. This is in the Passion Translation. And I do want you to get your communion. You got your communion stuff ready? Who's got your communion stuff? Who's got these? My dad, he would have hated these things, but he's not here. Have you? Who doesn't have one? If you don't have one, you can put your hand up. We can get you one. There's a couple people in the front here don't have one. Want to make sure you've got one. And you know what? Don't say, I'm not going to do it today because I had an evil week. You know, if you had an evil week, especially, you should do it. Because this is not a stay away ceremony. This is a come, you lucky beggar. This is come because you know what? God loves you. You know, examine yourself. And if you examine yourself and find out, you know, I'm in need, welcome to the table. And it doesn't say come unworthily. It says you come in an unworthy manner. The unworthy manner is not that I'm going to come and experience God's love. The unworthy manner is I'm going to do this as a ritual and expect nothing to change in my life. That's an unworthy manner. If you need help, come to the table. If you need fresh cleansing, if you need a fresh move of God in your life, come to the table. If you need to experience God's love, don't stay away. Come to the table. And this isn't Impact Church's table. It's the Lord's table. And you're all invited. And I'll tell you something. Things happen. And if you don't have an expectation of things happening, that's why many are sick, many are asleep, many are dead. People die because they don't understand this is appropriating the life of God in every part of your life. This is where we appropriate. This is where we declare communion. What is communion? This is where we declare common union, a common union with each other, but we declare a common union with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I am nuts about you and I do love you. And I'm nuts about him because I'm always overwhelmed at how much he loves me. So we take communion together, all right? Look at that verse. Can you see that verse? I was actually visiting Bill and Pauline and we were doing communion together and I thought I would read the passage. Bill and Birdie, thank you very much. If I saw Bill and Pauline, that would be amazing. Pauline's gone to be with Jesus, so that would be cool. But anyways, so I was reading this verse, but it just struck me. And I hope it strikes you. I want you to see this. I want you to see. While they were nailing Jesus to the cross. So please picture that. While I was buying butter at the grocery store. No, while Jesus was being crucified. You do understand he's being nailed to the cross. While he's being nailed to the cross. Well, Jesus, what were you saying when they're hammering nails through your ankles and through your wrists? What were you saying? He was saying, and I love this. I've never seen it before, but the Passion Translation says he prayed over and over. So I've read it before. I've taught on it before. These were the things he said. But in this translation, then I went and looked at it. I looked at the Greek language, and it does speak of repeatedly. He repeatedly, while these people are viciously, cruelly murdering this innocent man, what is he saying to his murderers, to the false accusations of the slander, to those who are creating unbelievable pain in his life? Have you had anybody give pain in your life? Have you had anybody who's been a pain to you? You had anybody you say, I wish they were a better person? You had any situation where you said, I don't feel like I'm treated well? I don't like what's happening right now? What did Jesus say when he was in a situation where I don't really like this right now? What did Jesus say? You know what he said over and over again? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Your identity is not found in what people do to you or say about you. Your identity is found in you're a child of God. And therefore, whatever anybody does, you can always respond with love. Always, no matter what, you can respond with love. And Jesus, as he is, so are we in this world. So you know what? We are walking bundles of forgiveness. He prayed over and over again, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Amen. His body was torn open, and his body was torn open so that the precious blood could flow. His body was torn open because all of the sin, past, present, and future, every vile thing that has ever been done in this cosmos that was not of God, every single bit of that, yours, mine, Jeffrey Dahmer's, every single person's, Hitler's, every other ugly thing you could ever conjure up, Jesus took in his body that day the sin of the whole world. And he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of believers. No, he takes away the sin of the whole world. Not everybody embraces that. I wish they would. But Jesus did it all. And that body. And I love it that it says, by his stripes, those wounds, because of his stripes, we are healed. And I love Peter, because Peter says, we were healed. Were you healed? Did he take stripes in his body? Did he? Did that really happen? By his stripes, you were healed. When were you healed? 2,000 years ago. Well, I'm still struggling today. Well, then you got to align your mind. You have to repent. Repent means, I got some new information for you. Your healing was legally achieved and purchased for you 2,000 years ago. It's your legal right. You own that right now. And how do you get it? How do you obtain it? By faith alone. That means just accept it. How many people here were healed 2,000 years ago? How many people have a broken arm and you can't put it up no matter what I say? Every one of us were delivered from sickness and pain, and every one of us have been made partakers of his divine nature. And as Cheryl said, beloved, I wish above all other things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Why don't we just lean into the Word of God? Why don't we just lean into the beautiful revelation of our Heavenly Father? And why don't we today, don't do this in an unworthy manner. Don't do this without an expectation. Don't do this without believing that it will manifest. But let's do it in faith. Let's do it believing. I believe I'm healed. I believe I am because Jesus did it. And I believe it is a function of what he has done, not a function of what I can do. And it's not a function of me trying to straighten my life out. It's a function of me accepting that he did it all. And whoever you are today, you might have wandered in today and, you know, never been here before, but there's something going on in your body that concerns you. I want to speak to you right now. Jesus Christ heals you. Jesus Christ heals you. Jesus Christ heals you. Amen. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. The precious blood, it says that we've been redeemed by the blood of God. I think it's Acts 20:20 says that it's the precious blood of God. Jesus was a man, but he had the blood of God. And that body, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, that precious blood covered everything. And you see, when sin was placed on his body, the precious blood of God flowed over that body, and it flowed over the sin. It flowed over the sin of every generation. And the perfect blood of God completely redeemed every single circumstance. his blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus to bring restoration and redemption in every aspect of your life. Is anybody having fun yet? This is a long communion service. Oh my God. It is. The blood. There's power in the blood, power for you. Let's drink in faith, believing right now for full, absolute manifestation, redemption in every form. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, stand up with me. All right, I got one more slide. There it is, one more slide. Boom. What's our response to his revelation of unconditional love? Number one is receive it. Number two is give it away. Number one, receive it. Number two, give it away. Don't be something that's only receiving all the time. If you just receive all the time, you'll become a sour, smelly, stagnant pool of blah. You really will. But you've been given it so that it flows, so there's a transition in your life. Could you bow your heads? Everybody pray. Everybody's praying. Everybody's praying. Just bow your heads. Listen, if you're here today, you've come in, and maybe you've been here for a few weeks, or maybe it's your first time. Maybe you've been invited by a friend. But I just want to tell you that God loves you. He's nuts about you. And that he has made everything possible for you to be his child. All you have to do is receive him. To those who receive him, he gives the right to be the children of God. And he wants you to walk in the full manifestation of sonship, of daughtership, to know that you're a child. And I'm speaking to you today. I'm speaking to you because I want to pray for you. But listen, if that's you and you've never said, I receive you, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, I'm going to ask you to do that today, right now. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. And when I get to three, if that's you, I want you to just put your hand up very high and say, that's me. Would you pray for me today? And I'm going to pray with you. We're all going to pray. All right. But listen, are you ready? That's you. Tap, tap, tap on your heart right there. It's the Lord Jesus says, come on, welcome home. One, two, three. Put your hand up very high. Throw it all the way up in the air. Throw it all the way up in the air. Anyone else, put your hand up all the way up in the air. All right. Listen, we're going to pray. We're all going to pray. We're all going to pray with you, all right? So you pray, hear yourself, listen out loud. Let your voice be heard. Say this, say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. I declare right now in Jesus' name that I am forgiven, I am healed, and I am free. Now, Holy Spirit, come into my life, testify with my spirit that I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.